All right. Thank you, Sister Manners. She reached way back for that one, and I appreciate it. Got a great message to it, but in the earlier years of our church, we heard that song quite a bit and several others, and I appreciate it every now and then when somebody kind of reaches back and gets one of those, and that was a blessing. I want you to pray for Sister Manners now. She starts some radiation treatments, I believe, this coming week. Is that correct? And pray for her there. Tonight's going to be a little bit different. We're going to do things on Sunday night that we sometimes do on Wednesday night. Every year, we have a soul-winning marathon with our college where the college students go off. And they knock doors and win souls in conjunction with a local church trying to help that church. And this year, they were over on the East Coast with Pastor Hobbs and had a great time of it. I want to just say this a little bit, and then I'm going to ask Brother Parsons to come help me. But the very foundation, where the tire meets the road of Christianity, is telling others about Jesus. That's it. All the preaching, even prophecy preaching, and I do a lot of that and other stuff, it still comes back down to the basic of one Christian telling somebody the good news that Jesus loved them and died for them. I look over here in the fifth chapter of Acts. It'd be a good verse for you to memorize if you don't already know it. At the very last verse of Acts chapter 5. This is a young church now getting started. What are they doing? They're doing just what this verse says. And the last verse of Acts chapter 5 says, and daily. How often? Daily. Daily in the temple. Well, the temple we think of as the church today. So it says daily in the temple, but don't stop there. I fear Christianity today comes in the church and they leave it in the church. But daily we're supposed to be willing to tell somebody else that we have the opportunity, the good news about Jesus. So daily in the temple, yes, let's do that in the church building. But in every house, they cease not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. That's still the key. The church the students went over soul winning for, that's what they're doing. Trying to get in every house with the good news that Jesus saves. Folks, the world has lost track of this to a great degree. The cults and the isms and the liberalism and all that that's moved in. But the greatest news in the world is that a man can be told how he can get saved and go to heaven instead of hell. You just don't top that. And it was the biggest revelation to me as a lost young man that you could be saved and know it before you died, before you faced God. That was the greatest news. So that's what our young people were doing here recently. We have generally we bring them back and let them give testimonies, but spring break interfered, and opportunity is just fast fleeing. So tonight we're going to do that. We may have something to say at the end, but we may not be able to use all the students tonight. But we're going to bring them to the microphone and let them share a little bit with us of the experiences they had. Now. What was it, the total 70-something? 72 souls that were saved on this effort, and we praise God for that. And I'm going to ask Brother Parsons to come up, and then I believe we're going to set the platform down, microphone and platform here, fellows, if you get that for me, so they won't have to walk up the stairs and in fact, I'm thinking about here pretty soon setting the pulpit down there because I'm getting tired of these stairs. Now, I'm joking, but I don't skip up them quite as easy as I used to, I'll tell you that. But it'll be a blessing tonight. Listen close to them and then think about it. Think about it. Do you know how to tell somebody how to be saved? It's not that hard if you want to know. And it's the right thing to do. It's the right thing to do. Brother Parsons, you come on, please.
We were in Palm Coast, Florida, and spent a week there. I thank you, everybody that prayed for us, and that helped quite a bit. It is a heavily populated area. It's if I could give you if you've ever knocked doors or been in Poinciana, it's much like that. It's better laid out. It's very laid out. Very it's laid off alphabetically, and we completely covered the R area, if that kind of gives you an alphabetical order of where the church there has been knocking doors, and we were in R. It was a good area. We started into another section of F over by our hotel. The Lord took care of us. Very expensive area to stay in, and the pastor had kind of brokered a deal with someone. It was spring break time, and we're only about 10 minutes from Daytona Beach. And so to stay in a motel, a nice motel for under $100 a night was a blessing for us. Amen. And so the Lord ordained all those things and took care of it. I appreciate your prayers. Can I just do this real quick? Many of you may not know our staff. If you were on staff at the Landmark Baptist College, would you stand for me right now? I want you to see the people that I get to work with every day. These people make it happen. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. These are great people training these young people, and they are a blessing. They go with us on the Soul Winning Marathon, and not only get to facilitate all those things, but they get to go soul winning themselves if we're given opportunity. It's a blessing to be able to do that. I thank you, church, for sending us. It's not every church doesn't do this. Every church doesn't send out groups like this, and even good churches that have Bible colleges don't allow their college. I hope you understand there, you know, these young people paid to go, and other people paid to go with us that were in our church, but they didn't cover it all. And so we thank the church for sending us, allowing us to be a part, and also to be a help to that church plan. It was 72 souls that were saved. Brother Hobbs, it's his second time. He planted a church in Homestead, Florida, and this is our second time being able to help him with a church plant. And he's not unaccustomed to this, so he has been working feverishly to follow up on all these people. It is the area I told you is heavily populated, but it's also heavily indoctrinated with the Jehovah Witness doctrine. It's that kind of place that we, on the first 2 days that we were out, we ran across JWs and knocking doors and trying to be on the same streets that we were on. And so it is the only church that's knocking doors in that place is this church plant. There's another independent church that's been there a good time. It's a good pastor there. He's a good man. He's in his 80s, and his church is shrinking, and they're elderly, and they support this church plant. They're glad that they're there, and so there, you know, it's a big enough town for more than one independent Baptist church, and so I thank God for that. But you pray for this to continue working. It's not just we went and won them to Christ, but we wanted to get them locked in and in the church and be able to see them discipled and grow in the Lord. And so we want to get to testimonies. Let me say this before I go any further or else I'll forget. If you are a Sunday school teacher and you were bringing and you're looking for some place to put that binder for our Sunday school program, over here on the front pew every Sunday night it'll be in here. If you can drop your binder off, and Wednesday night it will be in the same place for you to pick it up. It will have your Sunday school lesson in it for the next week. And then it gives us an opportunity to keep roll on and keep points on all the kids each week as we keep up with what you're doing on Sunday school. I hope it went well today, the bus routes and everything. The Sunday after, they had a big Sunday at this church, Palm Coast Baptist Church, and we gave you a little bit of report. They had to have that. The devil was fighting them. Their facility where they normally meet was having a big day and had the whole parking lot jammed full of blow-ups, and it was just a crazy event scheduled the same day as they were going to have Brother Shelton Smith. And so they had to move their Sunday out of their rent, where they rented their storefront, to somewhere else for Sunday morning. And they still had a good day. They didn't have as many as they wanted, but they had several visitors. Five of those walked aisle and trusted Christ, and many others had a lot of questions. There was a lot of, you know, there's a lot of people right now that, just like Pastor said, they're confused about salvation. They believe in God, but there's so many isms and schisms out there that have confused them. They just are trying to find the truth, and they were trying to share it with them, and some of them didn't accept Christ that morning, but they heard the truth that morning. Amen. And so we're going to start off by giving some of these. Let me give some instruction for our students. If you've never done this before, keep it brief, okay? And your goal is not to be funny, although it's okay if it is. And but your goal is just to give a good experience. Again, be thankful to the church. And again, please be brief as you can so that we can get as many people as we can in, all right? And so Brother Doug Akis, you're going to lead the way, brother.
My name is Brother Doug Akis. That wasn't funny. Hey, my partner was Josh. Josh, you want to stand up? My partner was Josh. And we were out with Sarah and Abby. And we had a really good time. But I got to tell you, these guys, I'm an Army recruiter. I was an Army recruiter the last couple years I was in the Army. And so I could talk to people easy. But these guys were so timid when they started. They were scared to death to talk to people. It just seemed, and we'd go out soul winning on Thursdays and stuff, but they were scared. And I could just see Josh in his voice, the way he talked, and he'd knock on the door. I'm like, Josh, gotta knock on that door, Josh. Let him know you're here. So, but then as time went by, he just started gaining confidence and talking to people. And man, he'd grab his Bible and be like, pull it out and just start going through everything. What a blessing. What a blessing. So, but every day, Josh and I would be given the gospel over and over again. We'd just pull that Bible out and start giving the gospel. And sometimes it got thrown out and whatever. It didn't matter. We were never going to see those people again. But it was a blessing because Josh would pull that Bible out and we'd go through. And on the very last day, on the very last door, we double-teamed this guy. And he got saved. Amen. Praise the Lord. But yeah, it was a blessing. It was really, really a blessing. So, you know, when you guys think, geez, where's my money going or where's my tithe going or whatever, it's going for some souls to be saved. And even George and I got a chance to talk to somebody a couple of times, and it was just such a blessing, such a blessing. So, next.
Well, my name is Josh, and Doug pretty much said. It was a great time. We had a great time out there. The spirit of the college was fantastic. And I was like, oh, this is crazy. So I just went with it. And well, when we first got there, the hotel was great and all that. And the first day, like, people were already like, nah. And then we just kept going and going. And then as we got rejected, there was like people in between were like, oh, Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. I'm like, oh, yeah. And then, what else? Yeah, the food is great, and the last guy, he had tattoos and piercings. I was like, oh, this is gonna be rough, and he was just like, he broke down. He was like, oh, been going through a lot and all that stuff, and we just went through it, and he got saved. Amen. Amen.
Good evening. My name is Abigail Sullivan. First of all, I want to thank the church for sending us out. My partner was Sarah Hargroves. Yeah, Sarah Hargroves. And Josh and Doug were our guys. It was very interesting. For the first 3 days, it was rough. We didn't get anybody. Our team was just like, it was bad. Like, people were closing the doors. We met a lot of Catholics. And so they were like, I'm not interested. Go away. And so I was kind of getting discouraged, and I know we're not supposed to really get discouraged, but it's kind of hard when you want to see someone saved. And so on the fourth day, I met this teenage boy named Anthony Hernandez, and I knocked on the door, and I was just praying. Me and Sarah, before we went to the door, we were praying that, you know, even if we don't get to lead anyone to the Lord, that we would just be a part of something great, like other people can lead people to the Lord, and we would be okay with that. And so I also prayed that Sarah would get to lead someone to the Lord and I can just be the silent partner. And so I knocked on the door and I talked to him, and he's like, oh, I'm a Methodist. And I was like, that's okay, Methodist needs to get saved too. And so I talked to him, and he was very attentive, and his mom was trying to call him, but he's like, oh, she can wait. And I led him through the plan of salvation, and he got saved, and he's very excited. And then he was like, I should probably call my mom. And I was like, yeah, you should. So he went off and did that, and we got his information and everything. But another interesting thing that happened was I knocked on this lady's door, and her husband was a Southern Baptist pastor. And I was talking to her about the church. She already was saved. And she told me, she's like, she whispered because her husband was in the living room. She's like, I don't really like my husband's church, so I think I'm going to visit this church. So, yeah, so that was a good, I don't know if that was a good thing, but I guess it'll be good for her. But yeah, so she said she would. But overall, it was great. The spirit was great. It's my last Salina marathon, so I was happy that I got to get one more soul. And it was just a blessing. Thank you.
Good evening, church. My name is George. This is my fourth soul winning marathon. It was a blessing so far. And so, it was, my team was with Mrs. Johnson, Jolene, and Ryan. So the thanks is when those people was opening the door, they was looking at me and you know, I'm so tall. And so it was a blessing so far. We, you know, the biggest thing for me is to realize that there's people need saved, need salvation. And then I remember that lady, Mrs. Johnson talked to her and Jolene, but they wasn't able to speak Creole. And so I went to her, they told me so she needs someone to talk to her. And then finally she got saved, and she told me she never knew that salvation is a choice. It's a decision that you need to make. And so she's been at church, she's been, I think she said 20, 30 years. So that's just great. And so thank you for everything, church. Thank you, pastor. And so I remember the first time, 4 years ago, I came here, and Dr. Lewis tells us about soul winning marathon. I said, what it is? What do you mean by soul winning? And he told me it's preach the gospel to people. And then I remember Brother Kensen told me, I told him, it's like the Jehovah's Witness do everywhere. He said, no, it's show people how to get saved. Amen. And it was really interesting for me. So since and to tonight, I thank God for that, that I can show someone to get saved. Thank you.
Good evening, I'm Ryan Aswardi. This is my second soul winning marathon. I went last year as a senior in high school. It's my first time as a college students. My partners were Georgia Keys, Jolene, Ms. Johnson. It was really funny. George knocked on the door. They answer, like, yeah, this is my brother. And we look nothing alike, obviously. But we had a blast. That one time George was talking about we knocked on the door, or Jolene and Ms. Johnson did. This lady spoke on Creole only and not English. So George's like, oh, yeah, let's go back up there. And we knock and she answers. And I had no clue what was going on. It's like, I was really confused. But at one point, though, I look, and they're both praying. And I'm like, oh, okay. So I bow my head and prayed with them. And it was a great time. It's like, there's a great spirit everywhere where we went. In the hotel room, during the meals. Our team saw a lot of people saved. I led one young man to the Lord. And then we saw one lady, young lady, get reassurance for salvation. And it was a good spirit the whole way. And on the way back, it was me, Samuel, and Brother Parsons. We were just in the luggage bus. Just, you know, we were singing our hearts out. We sounded really bad. But it was awesome, though. Just like, it was a good spirit to where we went, and look forward to next year.
Hello, my name is Jolene Torres. I'm a college student here at Landmark, obviously. I really didn't get to lead anybody to the Lord, but I was partners with Ms. Johnson, so I got to learn a lot from her and how she leads people to the Lord. I don't really have any stories to tell, but watching Ms. Johnson, she got to lead like a few Catholics to the Lord, and it was interesting because at first, like, they were rejecting and said, no, I go to this church. And she would be like, well, let me show you something. And she just opens up and shows them through the scripture. And eventually they just, like, bowed their head in prayer and got saved. And it happened multiple times because that morning during devotions, Pastor Hobbs talked about how we shouldn't, like, ask them, like, can I show you this? Or here, look at this. Like, you know, like, look at it. And so that was cool. And Dr. Bradley called her the Pope Slayer because she led so many Catholics to the Lord. But it was good. And then to see Pastor Hobbs and their family and the church that they're doing now because they're not in Homestead anymore. So it was a big blessing to see. Thank you.
Pope Slayer, yeah, they came up with that. There was. Most of the ones the Lord allowed me to lead to the Lord were Catholics, but I've never been afraid of that because they believe the Bible. I mean, they believe Bible and they believe in God, and you got a good foundation to start from. But it was a wonderful trip, rejoicing in all the souls that were saved, and it's always humbles me. To think that God would use me, and I'm just a sinner saved by grace. That's the only difference. But I do want to share one young man was on the first day that I was able to talk to, and his house was, everything in the background was noisy, and this little boy kept looking in the window and jumping up and down. And so I asked the young man to step out and close the door, and he did. And so he was the first one on the list and was able to lead him to the Lord and show him plan of salvation. And we invited him to Brother Hobbs' church, and he said he would come. I don't know if he did, but and he asked me a lot of questions. Then he said, will you be there? I said, well, I would like to, but I'm not going to be. But we had a lot like that. And then he was 18, and he told me, he said, well, just a few days ago, about 3 days ago, I got run over by a truck. And it was just amazing how, you know, God gave us some like that, you know, like, you know, they were able to see what the Lord brought them, saved them from, to get saved. It was just wonderful. But the heartbreaking thing is, one, on the last day, a bunch of kids were getting off the school bus, and I think Brother Bill said, there's a bunch getting off the school bus, and it was time for us to be picked up. But anyway, we started witnessing, and got this one young man walking along. He was had his earphones on. I call him earmuffs. I don't know, that's not what he was listening to something. But he was very polite and got to my New Testament out and was, you know, asking him if he knew for sure he died, he would go to heaven. And he said, no, and I don't know anything about that. And so I showed him through all the plan of salvation. At the end, when I invited him to bow his head with me and trust Christ, he said, you know, he says, I don't know what I believe. I don't believe anything, really. And he says, I've never gone to church. And boy, that stabbed me in the heart. You know, I've been heartbroken for him because he went on down the road. He was so polite. He took it. Of course, I gave him the packet we were giving out, had the tract in it and everything. So I told him I was going to pray for him. He says, please do. So his name was John. He was 15. And many out there, when we think about all the young people across our nation, don't have a clue. They don't have a clue about who Jesus is. That's really, but it was a blessing to go, and I appreciate all the workers. Brother Bill never missed picking us up. And I said, I don't understand how you can remember these streets. They were all R, started with R, and he would always find us. Brother Phil said it was okay if he didn't, but anyway, thank you for everything.
Praise the Lord. My name is Paco, and this is my third year at the college, and but my fourth soul winning marathon. My first one I went to was before I was a college student, by the grace of God. But amen, it's always a blessing to go to the soul winning marathons. And there's a preacher that says you can never go wrong if you sharpen your tools. And if the Lord sees me as a tool, then I believe the Lord did just that. He sharpened me in the knowledge of soul winning. I didn't get to lead anyone, unfortunately, to the Lord, but praise God, I got to share the gospel numerous times. My partner was James Stanley, and he was such a blessing. And my girl partners was Hannah Bradley and Susanna Morgan, and there was such an encouragement. The only times I felt down was because I was tired, but most of the times I was excited and encouraged by everything that was going on with my partners and the houses I was knocking. And just to share this experience, the highlight for me out of the whole soul winning marathon, I went to this house. But before I mention this, at first I was struggling, like Jolene mentioned, it's sometimes it's not wise to ask, hey, do you have time? Because more times than not, they're gonna say no. So, you know, to be safe, just go straight into the gospel and have them, reject it, But anyways, my highlight of the soul winning marathon, I came to this house and I took that advice. And right away, as soon as he opens the door, the elderly man, he's silent. And I tell him, hey, do you know for sure that if you die today, if you go to heaven? And he was silent. And so I took advantage of that moment. It says, the Bible says in 1 John 5:13, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. And he was still silent. And even though he was still silent, then I went on. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man come unto the Father but by me. And then the whole time, I'm kind of like scared too, because he's like quiet. And and then next thing he's like, I can see a smile on his face, and I knew, man, he's a Christian. And he wasn't really on our stripe, but he was good on salvation, on faith alone, no other work, But that was the highlight for me, and the best moment for me. James can testify and tell you I was so excited. I was jumping around, waving my Bible around, and it was awesome. But thank you, church, for being a blessing to us.
Well, my name is James. This was my first soul in a marathon this year as a freshman. I feel like there was a great spirit amongst the college students. I wouldn't know about last year. I wasn't there. But I feel like we grew closer together. They didn't let us bring our phones, and we're still alive. So, but I feel like that's one of the major things that brought us together was kind of not being around the world as much. We didn't have any access to technology, and I think that just drew us closer together, made us kind of tighter woven. But the soul winning marathon this year was a blessing to me. I was able to lead two people to the Lord. There were two ladies. The first one, her name was Jackie. She was a young lady, a single mother of I think two children. And she was very receptive. She was just so attentive, and she was listening so well. And she even had to make her daughters go back inside because they were, begging her or asking her for something. I don't remember what it was. But I led her through the plan of salvation, and she ended up getting saved, and that was a great blessing. I believe that was halfway through the week, and it was kind of a discouragement up till then, because my first soul in a marathon, I'd never been able to see anybody saved on one. So that was a great blessing. Paco was a blessing to me. We grew closer together in that, I feel like. And the devotions we had in our room, we had a kind of a prayer meeting type of thing, and I believe that kind of drew me closer to the Lord a little bit. But the last lady I got to lead the Lord, her name was Nita, and this was actually kind of Brother Doug's and Josh's situation. She was a Catholic, but she got saved, and she was the last house, the last person that we talked to before we got on the van to leave to go back to the hotel. And she was so receptive, just like Jackie was. But what was different about her, she told me, she was Catholic, she believed all this. And I just pulled out my Bible, like everybody else has been saying, and just started giving her the scriptures. And as soon as she seen my Bible, her body kind of tensed up for a second. And it was kind of weird. I was kind of scared at first, like I scared her off. And then whenever I was reading the scriptures to her, she you could say she pretty much pulled the Bible from my hand and was reading the scriptures. And she told me after I was able to lead her to the Lord, her husband, did not let her read the Bible, that her priest told her husband to read the Bible to her. And that was the first time she'd ever read the Bible for herself. So that was a blessing to me that she even got saved. And I'm hoping that she did attend that service that Sunday. And I'm praying that that was a blessing to her and that that would have helped her. But I know I speak for all the college students when I say we appreciate your prayers and everything that you guys do for us. And we appreciate you, preacher. Amen. Thank you.
Amen.
Hi, my name is Susanna, and this is my second time going on Soul Winning Marathon. And last year was just, it was great. Going into it, I was a little nervous. I didn't really know what to expect. I'd never been on anything like that before. And so I was nervous, and I was like, okay, I don't know how this is going to be. But it was really great. It was, I didn't get anyone to lead into the Lord last year, and so that was really disappointing. But this year, I was so excited to be going. Like, I was just, I knew what it was about. I'd been before, and it was just so exciting. And so when we got out there, we actually left Monday, and we were able to go right out. And Monday and Tuesday, we were knocking on a lot of doors, and there were a lot of Jehovah's Witnesses and a lot of Catholics. And so I was just like, you know, everyone was like, oh, no, you know, I'm a Catholic. I don't really want to listen, you know, no. And so it was a little discouraging. A lot of people didn't answer the doors. And my partner was Hannah Bradley, by the way, and then we had James and Paco. And so we were knocking doors, and then on Wednesday, we went out, and it was kind of the same thing all morning, and no one really wanted to talk. No one, you know, was answering the doors. And on the breaks, they were taking us to a park to use the restroom and to have lunch and stuff like that. And so we went to the park for a break, and I think there are two teams. And so we were just sitting around the tables waiting for the van to come back and pick us up. And while we were there, a lot of kids were coming to the park because it was later in the day after school was out, and there was just a lot of people in the park. And so we're just sitting there, and a group of kids had gone over to a portion of the park where they could do tricks and stuff. And James was like, well, some of you girls should go and talk to those kids because they were younger. They're around 10 years old, and he didn't want to like scare them off because he's kind of a scary guy. But so we were like, okay. So we all kind of just sat there for a minute trying to decide who was going to go. And so he mentioned it several times. So I'm like, okay, well, I'll go. And Damietta was actually there, and she went with me. And so we went over to them. There's about four boys, and they're over by these like half pipes. They're doing all these really cool tricks, honestly. But and so I was like, okay, well, hey guys, can we talk to you for a minute? And some of them just kind of kept and doing their tricks, but two of them were kind of off to the side waiting. And so I just started talking to them, and I started just witnessing to them. And you know, I showed them the Bible, and I told them where we were from, and showed them the door hangers. They're like, oh yeah, we got those on our door. Yesterday we saw them on our door. And that was a blessing to me, because even though we didn't get to talk to them yesterday or that day before, we still caught them at the park. And so that was a blessing. And so we got talking to them, and eventually the other two kids that were playing around, they came over and they came forward, and they all just kind of sat around, and they were just listening so well. And you know how it is with kids sometimes, they're like distracted or go and do that and then come back and go, and they were just all sitting there. And so I went through the whole plan and, you know, asked them questions, made sure that they were responding. And they all wanted to receive Christ, and so they all prayed. And that was such a blessing to me, just all four of them, and they were so excited. And so yeah, it was a real blessing, and I was thankful that Damietta came with me. And afterwards, they're so excited, and they're like, well, you know, you wanna do some tricks? We wanna show you some tricks. They're like, okay, lay down on this concrete. I was like, well, I don't know about that. And they're like, oh, okay, we'll do it. And so they were on half pipes, and they jumped over this other kid. I'm like, this guy's gonna die in front of me, and I don't have a phone to call anyone, and it's gonna be so bad. But they did it. It was really cool. And anyway, they were really excited. They wanted to come to church. They're gonna talk to their parents. And then also on the way back, I was excited after that, so I wanted to talk to like all the kids at the park. And so we went and talked to a little bit older girl, and she really listened really well, and she got saved as well. So that was such an encouragement to me. I wasn't able to talk to many people after that, but it was just such a blessing just for those five souls. You know, it was worth it. So thank you.
Hello. My name is Hannah Bradley. This is my second Sony Marathon. Soul Winning Marathon is always a great experience. It's also very encouraging because even though I didn't see anybody personally save, I don't know what I just said, but anyways, even though I didn't see anybody personally saved, it's still a blessing to see how close the college get and how uplifting the spirit of the college is that week. Yes, we don't have our phones, and yes, we survived. Teenagers, you can survive without your cell phones. We did it. So it was just a great time. As they said before, I had Susanna and James and Paco, and they were a blast to be with. Their spirits were very encouraging. And it's safe to say that it was awesome being able to help another church, because we see how fruitful our church is and seeing our church grow, but it's so cool to go to different churches. Being an evangelist kid, I get to travel a lot and see a different church, but because we're only there for like a service when we travel, but it's really cool to actually get to go somewhere and help a church like prosper and have fruits get involved in their church. And honestly, that is a blessing to me, even if I never personally did it, but to know that as a college and as a team, we got to do it as a group. So we appreciate your prayers and for sending us to Palm Coast Baptist Church.
Well, that's not all of them, but unfortunately time gets us. But I want to say this to you. As Christians, it's easy because of the flesh to get complacent, to actually get backslidden. If there's anything in the world that will fire you up, it's seeing somebody else saved after you share the gospel with them. That's what is missing, I think, in a lot of spiritual lives. We come and soak it up like a sponge, and we don't squeeze it out and pass it on. And like the little boy said one night when the preacher was having a testimony meeting, and the little boy kept hearing this one particular man get up. Every time there was a testimony, he'd get up and he'd say, "My cup is just full. It's just full." And the little boy got tired of it. Stood up one night and said, "If your cup is just full and it never runs over, then it's got wiggle tails in it." And that's the trouble. We got cups full of wiggle tails because we don't overflow. Overflowing is telling somebody else. Not just to stay full of the gospel ourselves, but to give it out to others. And nothing in the world will hop you up like that as seeing somebody else saved. And we've all been through it, and it's something we have to work at to help our own selves. These young people went soul winning, and they some souls to be in heaven because of it, but they came back themselves inspired. It helped them as well, and of course that's one of the reasons that we do it as a college. And again, if your Christian life has just gotten all dull, it's because it's full of wiggle tails. You hadn't let your cup overflow and tell somebody else in a long, long time. And I challenge you, work at it. Now, here's the thing. You might be here tonight and you've never been saved. What we're saying to you is that we can take the Bible, clearly show you how to be saved. We can't make you do it, but we can show you how to make an intelligent choice where you understand it. I often, in my own talk with somebody, I'll kind of introduce the soul winning scriptures this way. I'll say to them, if I can show you how you can be saved, and it's something you can understand and know how to do it, would you do it? Most folks will say yes. If I can understand it and see how, yes, I will. Well, then the ball's back in my court to take the scriptures and show them to the place they understand. Now, they've already made a commitment that if they understand, they're going to do it. You may have a fool once in a while that'll say, "Oh, I'd rather go to hell than heaven," but that's a rare one. In the heart of every man, there's a desire to be right with his Creator. And so when he sees and understands, 90% of the time, he will accept the Lord. So if you go out soul winning, now you heard all the ones tonight say we had doors shut and we had rejections. That's okay. Nobody got hurt by that. Right. And the truth is that you may get the rejections of the people that won't listen, and so they reject you in their ignorance. But if they hadn't have gone and had the rejections, they'd have never had the victories either. Right. They would have had the souls, the 70-something souls that were saved during those 3 or 4 days. So it is a commission given to the church to preach the gospel to all the world. Amen? Amen. So it's our duty. Preaching's not just a preacher delivering a sermon over a pulpit. You can also, one-on-one, be the preacher. That's what the scripture tells us. And it actually tells us how can they hear without a preacher. And it's not just talking about a man called full-time preaching, but all of us, if we know Jesus, we're obligated to tell others about him. I've often said this. We hear a lot, and we've got a lot of people on our prayer list suffering from cancer. Many diseases are bad. That one is outstanding with us in our minds. But if you knew, or I knew, for sure, a cure for cancer, we'd be an awful person if we didn't share it, wouldn't we? Well, how about the cure of salvation? We are more obligated because the soul is more valuable than the body. So we're more obligated to share the good news that Jesus saves. And that's what it's all about. I'm going to ask that we stand tonight. Ask that we bow our heads for just before we dismiss in prayer. I want to say this to you. You say, I'm not sure what all that was about. Well, we were just sharing testimonies, experiences of these young people going out with the Bible, showing others the good news about Jesus and others getting saved. I want to say to you tonight, you might be visiting with us or you might come quite a bit, but you're not sure if you died tonight, you'd go to heaven. We're going to sing just a verse of song, and I'm going to invite you that if you'd come forward to where I'm at down here, that we'll do with you just what these young people, these soul winners were doing. We'll take the Bible, show you how you can be saved. So you can leave this building tonight knowing beyond a shadow of a doubt that if you died in your sleep tonight, you'd wake up in heaven. Wouldn't you like that? There's no reason for you to come, even in a small crowd as we're smaller tonight. No reason for you to leave lost. There's just a bunch of people around here that could take the Bible and show you how you can be saved and how you know it. Can know it. Amen. Father, bless the invitation for just a few moments here tonight. I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing.